Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Salam radiyallahu anhu was a Jewish rabbi, the tribe of Banu Qaynuqa, and not just an ordinary rabbi, but you could have called him like the head of the rabbis. His position, respect, publicity, so they held him in very high esteem. And obviously, a person is held in high esteem because of two reasons. One is knowledge, and one is the right application of knowledge. It's not just knowledge, and it's not just application, but it's knowledge with the right application. And knowledge without the right application is just memorizing some words. We memorize the words, and then we fall in a dispute, in a dispute of words. So there's no reality behind it. It's just some words that we are disputing about. See, they say that there were four people traveling, and they had about 100 rands in the kitty. And incidentally, the four people are all different languages. One is Persian, one is Urdu, one is English, and one is some other language. So they come across the market and they saw some nice fresh grapes. So the Persian says, "No, I'm going to take angur. He's hard about it." The Arab says, "No, inab." He's also very firm. And the Englishman says, "Grapes." And the Hindi says, "Ne, darak." Oh, they're disputing, heavy fight is carrying on. And it doesn't seem like they'll have any closure to this dispute. So just then one person pulled in and says, "No, all right, I'll sort all you people out." So he bought a nice tray of grapes and present. They all laughing with joy. Hey, how he understood all of us. He sorted this person, that person, the third person, the fourth person. So the dispute was centered around words. Was there any reality in it? Just words. So this is what happens many a times, that we learn the words, but we don't learn application. We don't understand the essence, the application. And we don't understand the application and essence, then we want to dispute. I want to prove my point, he wants to prove his point, the third person wants to prove his point. Right. So like, it is important to learn the word, but to learn the essence also, try and understand. So when a person is respected, he's respected because of this. He understands, he knows, and he's got the right application. But the problem comes about when you know the word, but you don't know the application, but you want to dispute, fight about it. Right? So we're going to be fighting, you're fighting on wrong premise. Right? So this fight is going to carry on, continue. It won't end up. Whereas if it's an ikhtilaf, it's a difference, but the difference is on a right premise, then it's respected. We respect it, we applaud it, we will give it a recognition. But for the difference being on right premise requires two things. One is that what you are talking about, is it a controversial thing or is it clear cut? If it's clear cut, then you can't create a controversy of something that is absolutely clear. Something absolutely clear, so you can't make it a controversial thing. Person with a deep cut, so all the doctors will tell you that it needs stitching. Someone comes and says, "No, it doesn't need stitching. It's very bleed." So now you know that he's going off completely. So this is genuinely requiring a stitch. So when he's talking something like this, then he's going off completely against that which is categorical and clear. So that which is categorical and clear, you don't move away from it. Person is thirsty, so you say the solution for thirst is water, drink water. said, "Oh, you mustn't drink water." So now that is categorical, it's clear. When it's clear, you don't have to create a controversy of something that is absolutely clear. And the other is where it's got a room for difference, or a difference of opinion. So these are the two requirements that are required to enter into a controversy. One is it must not be categorical. Number two, it is the person that are engaging in the discussion, they must be at the level that they can enter into that discussion. Now here's someone into a high level discussion who's just a learner, he's just learning to scratch the surface, and you get him into a high level discussion. You know, you are doing a disloyalty to the subject itself. The subject requires a little level of understanding. But it requires that level of understanding, and you're getting an ordinary person who doesn't fit that to come and participate in that, to come and contribute in that, it's wrong. So the person himself must be of the level, and what you're discussing also must be a controversial thing where there is room for differences. But if these things are not available, the person is not at that level, or it is not a controversial thing, then you make it a controversy, obviously it's wrong. It's not a controversy. We know, right, namaz has to be performed 5 times in the day. Is it a thing of controversy? Or someone makes that a controversy, then they say, "Hey, bhai, move away, jump out." Won't you see that? It's not a thing of controversy, don't make it controversial. Or number two, he is not at that level, he doesn't understand, he doesn't have that level of understanding, and he wants to participate. Is it the right thing to include him? You're having, for example, a doctor's meeting, right? Now, an ordinary person is in the first year of medicine, he wants to contribute, this is wasting our time. All the ABCs, what we have gone through, we understood it, we have ate that thing and flushed it out. Now you come and talk to us at that level. They don't want it. They don't appreciate it. So everybody doesn't understand. And everybody is not in a position of contributing. Now nobody wants to accept that today. So, no. I got a genuine idea. I must put it up into the Facebook and push it, make it viral. My opinion. So now this is where all this controversy and these problems are coming up. But it's not a controversial thing. It's got room for controversy, very well, you will contribute. But it doesn't have a room for that. Because he said it, I must say it. Because I said it, he must say it. Nabi Sam addressed the Sahaba Ikram. We are moving off to Banu Qurayza. And he announced, لا يصلين أحدكم صلاة العصر إلا في بني قريزة. Asr namaz will be read in Banu Qurayza. It's a Jewish community, approximately say 5 or 7 kilometers away from Medina Munawwara. So what's the clear cut? What is the command? Command is you perform Asr namaz at Banu Qurayza. Now you've got two texts contradicting. One is the word of Nabi Sassan that you should go and perform your namaz at Banu Qurayza. But there is another text of the Quran, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. That namaz is ordained at fixed hours. كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. It's ordained, but it's ordained at fixed hours. But can you see the conflict? This is also text, this is also text. This is Quran, this is Hadith, both are texts, right? Now the Sahaba Ikram are moving, and it's Asr time already. So the one group says, this is the clear words of Nabi Sallam that we should perform our Asr namaz at Banu Qurayza. The other group says, but the clear text is that do not delay the namaz. Kitabam mawquta, ordained at fixed hours. So now what they did, the second group, what they did, they tried to work out what Nabi Sallam had intended. They felt that Nabi Sallam's intention was that we shouldn't delay the namaz. Or we shouldn't not delay the namaz, but we shouldn't delay our going. he was not implying that we should delay our namaz, but what he wanted us to rush off, to move off straight away. Right? That was the intention. So intention was what? That you move off straight away, not that you delay your namaz. So they now try to reconcile the both, because these two texts, one is in conflict with the other. When there is two texts, and the two texts are in conflict with each other, then the right thing is to try to work out a reconciliation. So they said, no, Rabbi Sahib wanted us to go straight away, not to delay our going. He didn't imply that we should miss our namaz or delay our namaz. So hence what they did is they halted, they performed the asr namaz en route, and then they went on to Banu Qurayza. So the one went straight and performed the asr namaz at Banu Qurayza, and the other had used the understanding in the light of the understanding they have got. They tried to reconcile, perform the namaz on the way, and then they had reached Banu Qurayza. It was the style of the Sahaba Ikram that whatever new developments, they would report it to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is around, so we aren't supposed to be doing things of our own. And if he wasn't around, and we come and meet him, then we present the new development. This was a recent development, and in this development, this is what we did. So now it's sanctioned, it's endorsed, and then it's approved, right? So it's sanctioned and approved. Now for the rest of time, for the rest of the ummah, isn't it a major lesson? But now see, for example, Sahaba Kiram did not report this, right? Then some information would have been concealed. They presented it to him, this is what happened, and this is how we responded. Now it becomes an evidence for us. It's a precedent. So how beautiful this is, right? On the side of the Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi gets the full report, and when he receives the full report, he doesn't condemn this one, nor does he condemn the other. That both of you have acted rightly. So he didn't condemn this one, he didn't condemn the other. Right? But you learn two things from this, that in the absence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then you will apply your reasoning. But for the reasoning, I said, you need two levels. I will explain that, right? Everybody can't go and reason. You will need two levels to be able to reason, right? But whilst Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is around, then فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ, then refer it to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? This is what we did. And see what response you receive from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not condemning this one, you are condemning that one. So that means both are approved, right? He's approved this, he's approved that, right? So that also brings you to a point where you don't find a clear text, then you can use your reasoning, right? When you don't find a clear text, then what do? You will apply your reasoning. So now there is room from the hadith, there is room for qiyas, there is analogy, reasoning, etc., right? Also, you will understand that those that applied the reasoning correctly, they will get a double reward as compared to those who erred in their reasoning. So these people that have postponed the namaz, read the namaz at a late hour, they get one reward, because they only acted on the apparent meaning of the hadith. See, when performing your asr namaz at Banu Qurayza. So what they practiced on the apparent meaning of the hadith. And these people use the apparent and also use their reasoning. See, it was a double effect. And when they used their reasoning and the text, right, then they found there was a need for a reconciliation, they reconciled, and then came to a conclusion. So now what happens to the reward? The reward is multiplied. See. But now all this, how much of brain breaking it requires? Just one thing I'm explaining to you all. And when you see how much come out of it, now, if one of you all just read this hadith just independently, could you have got all this explanation? Just go and perform your asr namaz at Banu Qurayza. Could you have got all this explanation? But doesn't it come out from this one hadith? But so much comes out of it. And doesn't it prove to us that not everybody is at a position to reason? Some person has it, some person doesn't have it. The person doesn't have it, he must accept that I don't have it. The person that has it, he can't be boastful. But he can't waste it. He's got the ability, then he must use it. Now some students tell him, you know, when they hear a lot of talks of humility, etc., they say, no, you know, you can't go and perform a namaz, you can't go and lead the namaz, because this will amount to pride. So I tell him, right, you won't look forward to the position of imamat. But if there's all ummis in the crowd, all that can't recite the Quran Sharif correctly, in the upcoming ulama, a lot of them have got an overload of humility. Now, because of the overload of humility, they don't want to go and perform the namaz. You know, I'm showing off, you know. So we don't want to go and show ourselves off. It's not very good, don't show off. But now, it's a situation where there's nobody that wants to take that position, then what do we do? Then you are forced to go and perform the namaz. Because that person is an ummi. He can't recite correctly. When he can't recite correctly, then his namaz has become invalid, and the Qom's namaz also invalid. Or if it was the best that he could recite, his namaz is valid. But the people behind him, if someone is reciting correctly, then that person's namaz is invalid. He is majboor, he's excused, because this is the level of his understanding. He can't recite better than that. But that person that can recite better, and he recited, he performed namaz behind this person here, and this person is cough and cough and everything is gone off. So his namaz is questionable. So at that point, you see, no, I'm not the best person, but alhamdulillah, I can recite the Quran Sharif at a level where the recitation will be correct. I'm not the best reader. It's like take another situation to understand this whole concept, right? See, you are flying, right? Emirates flight, right? Now someone has a heart attack on the plane, right? And you got a heart specialist. He knows what to administer immediately, what to do, he knows, right? Now, if that doctor that is experienced, he's a heart specialist, he knows about this type of cases, is very well experienced. If he will act very humble, I'm ordinary, simple, Nazis, Mandarin, what will happen to the patient? What will happen to the patient? He may just lose his life, right? He will say, alright, see, I'm not the best person available, but this is not something that is too complicated. I can, inshallah, by the grace of Allah, I can handle this. Isn't that the right response? That if you know, I don't know anything about it, you know, Nazis, I don't know anything about medicine. If he carries on like that, what's going to happen? It's going to cost the dear life. So in that situation, when you're in constraints, then you'll offer yourself not to show and assert your authority, your highness, and your greatness, but just to fill the vacuum. Now, no, nobody should do it. It's either you treat the person and you save his life, or either you abandon him and risk his life. What is the better thing? Now, that time, if there's nobody available, that's what you will do. So we are talking of Abdullah bin Salam, radiyallahu anhu, right? Jewish rabbi, such a great person. All Yahud crowd, the whole crowd, he's the best. Elite, because they asked also, who's the best? Abdullah bin Salam. Most noble family and background, he's the man. Now, he accepts Islam. Now, when a person is very righteous, then he's very cautious as well. I don't want to play the wrong card. I must do things, but I must play the right card. I mustn't do it wrong. Because of his knowledge and his righteousness. The knowledge, what it brings a level of righteousness. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِي الْعُلَمَى. That knowledge, what is the fruit, what is the product of knowledge? The product of knowledge is khashyat. Khashyat is the fear of Allah Ta'ala. مَنْ لَمْ يَخْشَى فَلَيْسَ بِعَالِمٍ. And if there's no khashyat, there's no fear of Allah Ta'ala coming out, then really you are an alim. It's a mango tree. What is desired of the seed, thing that is desired is the fruit, not just the tree. So if that thing is growing up, sprouting, coming into a tree, it's coming into a big, nice, beautiful tree, but it's not fruiting, it's not showing any fruit, what you will see? Will you call it a nice mango tree? You won't call it a nice mango tree, because it's not giving any fruit. So that alim, this is what he's supposed to be visible in him, is khashyat. What is the level of the fear of Allah Ta'ala in this person here? Then you see on the Spanish side, one great alim of the past, he says that whenever any istifta, any question comes up to me, that I don't just answer it straight away. A question comes up to me, then I don't just answer it straight away. I bring myself into a frame of mind as though it's the day of Qiyamah, right? And in the presence of Allah Ta'ala, I can see Jannah here, I can see Jahannam here, right? In the presence of Allah Ta'ala, and in the presence of Allah Ta'ala, this question is being addressed to me, directed to me. When that question is being directed to me in the presence of Allah Ta'ala, I can see Jannah, I can see Jahannam. If I'm going to be unmindful, I'm not going to be careful, I know what I'm heading towards. With all of this picture in my mind, then I will think to myself, will Allah Ta'ala be pleased? Then only I will use my reasoning and issue a verdict. But not before that. Now, when we're going to be rushing to show answers and guide people rushing towards it, right? Now that person that is rushing towards it, is he going to be so cautious? Is he going to be so careful? He's not cautious, not careful. Because his whole mindset is now, I must say such a thing that will impress, you know. I must give off something that's going to impress the crowd. Now that impressing causes greater confusion. Because when you want to impress, you have to keep on having something new all the time. This is the old story, I gave this bayani, I can't give it again. So you have to impress, keep on talking about something new. But that's not about, it's not deen. Deen is that person got the same problem, he's coming to you for the 20th time, you're telling the same thing, do this. From the beginning, you saw that he was not dieting correctly. And therefore he's got health problems. So he'll come to you for the 20th time, then to you will give him the same answer, by your problem is you're not dieting correctly. Whatever you're going to do, and it's just going to create more and more complications by diet correctly. One student, now he's completing, alhamdulillah, right? So he came to me about 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. Well, chronic stomach treatment. Can't eat well. I don't know, I just took a chance. See, I'm not a doctor, but I just want to know one thing from you. How much of coke you drink? I just took a chance, random, you know, just a guess. He said about 3 liters every day. I said, hey, you're creating a problem for yourself. I think about so much of sugar, caffeine, all that. You'll have a chronic headache. He said, no, I got that. I can't, you know, every day I got a headache. Every day I got. And without fail, about 2.5-3 liters he's pushing. I look at the person turning like this. Hey, that's your meal, 3 liters, you know, how much of sugar are you taking in? So I told him, but this is not on at all. This is not on at all. If you want good health, then you better leave this thing out. How must I leave it out? You know, for so many years, 10 years I'm pushing so much, and you want me to get, all right, then die. Jaisi karni, vaisi bharni. Na maan to mar ke dekh. What you do, you will reap, but you don't believe what I'm saying, then die. To see now. So when I spoke to him about hardly, I left it. After 6 months, now everything is fixed up. So it took time, I suppose, for the stomach to readjust itself. For so many years now, an addiction, I had to just give up that addiction. Right? So what I was getting at, the doctor will not tell you something new. Same thing he'll tell you. He's not there to impress you. He's not there to excite you. He's there to guide you. So that alim that is speaking or issuing a verdict is not there to impress, not to excite, not to entertain. See now, what happens to deen when we don't have that ikhlas and the understanding that it's an entertainment, it's a show business, it's an excitement, or it's impressing. What else? The person gets out of it, exciting, hey, too thrilled about the talk, excited about the talk, impressed about the talk. Hey, what a beautiful speaker. We need this type of speakers. But now we need to know that what have they taken home? They must take something home. They said, you know, mashallah, from today onwards, you know, it's all gambling, I'm going to leave it out. So at least we want something, we gain something out of this. Today, from today onwards, you know, in the summer seasons, I'm missing on the Fajr. During my other namazes, the Fajr namaz sometimes I'm on, sometimes I'm not on, leaving it out, or the Quran series that I'm supposed to be reading in the morning, I left it out, not doing it as regularly as I'm supposed to be doing. So this is what I've taken from the talk today. I am going to make it true. From today onwards, I'm not going to leave out my recitation of the Quran Sharif. Now you know, you're getting some direction, some. So the speaker that is speaking, he needs to understand that I need to give them a direction. I don't need to impress. I don't need to excite. I don't need to entertain. It's not an entertainment business. You didn't come to a circus here for entertainment. You came to learn deen. And when you came to learn deen, sometimes it will be difficult. It will be weighing heavy upon you. As Abbas ibn Abbas, the Ranma, is talking about picture making. And as he's talking about picture making, you can see that the person that he's talking to, his face is just going down with that. Literally, his face is just going down. What a concern. Until the concern became so overwhelming that his face changed color actually. So Ibn Abbas asked him, but what happened? He said, well, this is my business. I live out of this. Picture making, I'm drawing, sketching art, my art, and that's my living. That's my livelihood. So he said, in kunta la buddha fa'ilan, you have to do it, then do it of inanimate things, trees, shrubs, etc., flowers, do it of that. Leave this animate objects, leave it out. So sometimes the talk is going to be very heavy. We're not going to be entertaining. We're not going to be impressing. We're not going to be exciting. So this alim says, when I receive an istifta, a question, then I put myself in the presence of Allah Ta'ala the day of Qiyamah. I can see Jannah, I can see Jahannam. And now Allah Ta'ala is witnessing, and I have to give an answer. I'm absolutely clear before I give the person a directive, or I'm just taking a shot in the dark, I'm speculating. What am I doing? I can see now, if I have one miss, I'm going this side, going off. Now, can that person make a mistake very easily? He can also make a mistake, but can he easily make a mistake? He can't easily make a mistake. The Sahaba-i-Kiram, the thing that was of greatest concern was giving a direction in deen. Many a times they're referring to a tabi, you will ask him a direction in deen, he is more suited for that. They won't give it. They'll give it to someone else, you won't give it. But strangely today, that has become the in thing, you know. They must come and ask me, they must refer to me, I will give the directive. And here that was the greatest concern, gravest concern, that nobody must refer to me for any maslah of deen. They'll advise, like, do your namaz on time, do your zakat on time, see that your roza, you don't make ghibat, etc. They'll advise, whatever advice. But giving a directive, a fatwa, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, they're so concerned, you see. Now that's why, see that ikhlas, sadab, abad, that brings about life. Whatever we are doing, we want that thing to be eternal, to have a life, to continue, right? But now, wanting that to be eternal, wanting a life in that, requires two things. One is taqwa, and one is the level of taqwa, level of ikhlas. Taqwa, level of ikhlas. In one sitting, Imam Malik rahmatullah is asked about 40 questions. Imagine one sitting, one single question, and a single sitting, 40 questions are directed to him. For 36, he says, La Adri, I don't understand. I don't know it. Who is this? Imam Dar al-Hijra. He is the Imam of the whole Medina, Munawwara. Any problem, you refer to him. But he is so careful, so cautious in this regard. From the 40 questions are directed to him, 36, he says, La Adri, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. One woman came to Nosheer Rawaz advisor. This advisor like a Mufti Sahib or something, great Mufti Sahib of his time. So Nosheer Rawaz is the king and came to the advisor and I need to know these things of deen. So the advisor says, no, I don't know it. So that woman says, Afsos tere zaat ke upar. Tu badshah ke khazane mein se khata hai. Aur ye masail ko jante nahi. What a pity on you. You are eating, you are living off the treasury. You're living off the treasury. And you can't find solutions to my problem. So now, in place of him getting upset, he said, no, auntie, you know, what you are saying, just trying to understand it, you see. See, the public treasury pays me for the things that I know. The public treasury pays me for the things that I know. But if they have to pay me for the things that I do know, then this treasury, leave this treasury. The treasure of the whole world will not be able to pay me. Because that's normal, right? Normal. The things that you don't know is far more in excess than the things that you know. The knowledge is limited. In comparison to the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala, not even a drop, right? So if they have to pay me for what I don't know, really, they don't have the money for that. So I'm not getting upset, but try to understand it in perspective. See. Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is questioned, Ayyul Buqa'i Khayrun? Ayyul Buqa'i Afdal? Which spot is the best spot? Like in a holiday season, I've seen everything now. Cape Town, I've seen Bergs, right? I just hear this from, I haven't seen this myself. But we'll come and make mulaqat, we're going to Bergs, right? MashaAllah, carry on. Bhai, apne maqam ko, apne ghar ko, Bergs jaisa bana do. Phir Bergs mein jane ki zarurat nahi rahegi. You made your home so comfortable, right? You got the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala ki yaad, everything you got there. That is better than the whole world. Why? That home of yours is flourishing. Some deen is carrying on, child making zikr, ta'aleem, namaz. So it's flourishing with deen activity, so you don't want to go anywhere. Why? That home is flooded with deen activity. And the deen activity brings about life. وَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ. See that? Without deen, you are dead. With deen, that deen brings life. That life brings enjoyment. And death brings about bloom. Life brings about bloom. So you want the bloom, then bring about deen. You want about deen, there's going to be bloom in your home. And you have to bloom all the bloom. So you want it, it's just deen. Really, it's a secret. It's a secret. It's just for you to, a matter of you applying it. You apply it and you see. Many times you get people coming here saying, hey, you know, the enjoyment you get in namaz, the enjoyment you get in tahajjud, is looking for the next morning. When the moments that I will enjoy with the beloved, the moments that I will enjoy with the beloved, hey, time just fly now. I have to wait for another 3 hours to get the time again. I have to wait for another 3 hours to get the time again. And it's a fact. Everything else in its place. But that enjoyment that you get at that time is something totally different. Absolutely totally different. Allah is talking to you. Kalamul Muluk. Imagine you reading nicely Quran Sharif. Murattil Quran Tartila. Nicely reading to Allah Ta'ala. You're understanding Allah is listening to me. Allah is right on the lowest heaven. He's at the lowest heaven and He's telling me, Alami mustarziqin, alami mustaghfirin. Anybody around, anybody wants anything, I'm here for him. And at that time you're reciting Quran Sharif. What a pleasant feeling. Allah Pak is listening. And he's asking, anybody there, what a pleasant feeling. Can you get a better feeling there? Better than Disney World and every world you get. In fact, if you got the true enjoyment, the true pleasure of the Quran Sharif, the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, Hazrat Fazlur Rahman, Ganj Muradabadi, right? So he says, Allah Ta'ala give us Jannat, right? But even if you have to go to Jannat, and the hoods have to come around, right? Right? I would say, B, tujhe kuch Quran Sharif sunana ho, to sunao, warna chale jao. Beloved, if you want to recite some Quran Sharif to me, very good, otherwise, do some other work. Now what level of ecstasy he must have been receiving with the recitation of the Quran Sharif, that everything else was secondary. Really I tell you, there are those people that receive this type of enjoyment living within this world. Living within this world, but they got that ecstasy, they got that enjoyment, just the words of Allah Ta'ala, listening to it. लेकिन तुम्हें व्हाट्सएप से फुर्सत मिलता है, यू गॉट एनी टाइम, यू गॉट फ्री टाइम ऑफ व्हाट्सएप, ऑल योर फ्री टाइम इज बीइंग डेडिकेटेड टू दैट. एंड हियर यू आस्क मी, अल्लाह पाक नाउ आई रीड द कुरान शरीफ, व्हाट आई विल गेट नाउ, समथिंग न्यू केम आउट, सम अल्लाह पाक मैसेज कमिंग, इट्स अ मैसेज ऑफ अल्लाह, अल्लाह पाक इज टॉकिंग टू मी, एंड व्हाट इज हिज मैसेज फॉर टुडे, यू लिसनिंग टू द वर्ड ऑफ अल्लाह ताला, एंड हार्ट इज जस्ट ओपनिंग, इट्स यू एंड हम है और हमारे महबूब है, वी आर इज जस्ट इन सेक्लूजन, वी एंड आवर बिलवड, वी एंड द बिलवड, कैन यू अंडरस्टैंड द एक्सटेसी एंड द फीलिंग. So, this Sahabi is asking, Ayyul Buqa'i Afdal, which is the best place, Khair or Afdal, whichever word he used, which is the best place. We'll also ask, which is the best place, resort, holiday resort. Allah Ta'ala forgive us. See, Lut alayhi salam, the Quran has got a lot of lessons. But a little bit of reflection. We read the tarjuma, carry on, move on. It's not, the Quran is not like that. You must keep thinking. See, when he saw those people involved in sodomy and all that, right? So one dua he made, Rabbi najjini wa ahli mimma ya'malun. Labak, save me and my household from these practices. You can't be laughing at them and looking at them with contempt and despising them, but he's overwhelmed with fear to such a level. Labak, you know, it's your grace that I'm saved from this. Please save me and my household. So when you see all this happening, you can't ridicule. Because if you save from it, it's not of your own doing. Allah will leave you for a second. Aapka kya ho jayega? What happened to you? Can you ridicule anybody? Yes, you will despise the wrong. But you can't, it doesn't give you the license to ridicule anybody. If you ridicule as though you are saying, yeah, you know what, see me and see these people here. That's what you are saying. You are moving Allah Ta'ala out of the equation. So the hadith says, لا تتمنوا لقاء العدو, that you don't look forward to an encounter. You know, you've got an encounter, don't look forward to that. Don't look forward. Because if you're looking forward to an encounter, what you are saying, yeah, I've got the strength, I'll put these people in the places. Can you see that? So whichever type of an encounter, any type of challenge, don't look forward to that. Because you don't know exactly at the time of the encounter what's going to be your response. How are you going to react? One small little thing and it'll just collapse your, all your guards will just drop. My encounter, you can just flop in one situation. You say, no, I got that taqwa and I won't slip. And put on RT, that's what happens to you. Just one auntie there. The whole thing, all that, everything will flop. Everything will flop. So you won't have that confidence in yourself that I will do things and I'll make things happen. No. Every coming day must be such that your nazar on Allah Ta'ala is increasing all the time. Your sight on Allah Ta'ala is increasing all the time. That's why I'm giving this advice to even Jamaat people, you see. That please, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, don't ever impress on your numbers. We are this istima and we got this type of a crowd. Students there, we have 2,000 people, right? Now sometimes it can be that you're impressing on someone else, right? Trying to despise that person. Now do you think Allah will like that? As good as what you are doing, but discreetly you are despising, what you people attract? 50 people, 100 people. See, we, one. See, who's got the clout? Who's got the might? But it's not your doing, it's Allah Ta'ala's doing. The work will carry on. But if you don't carry on with this, Allah Ta'ala will remove from the work. It's Allah Ta'ala's work, He will take care of His work. But if His work, He will take care. But you will have that attitude, Allah Ta'ala will pick you up and throw you. So you don't show an attitude. So no, by the grace of Allah, alhamdulillah, it worked well. But everything is attributed to Allah Ta'ala. It is His grace, it is His fazl, His karam that this thing happened. Even in the madrasa, it doesn't only apply to Jamaat. Even in the madrasa, can't say, hey, we on, you know. Look the results that we bring. Not within the mind and not verbally. Not within the mind and not verbally. This is not of your own doing. It's the grace of Allah, purely the grace of Allah that I did this. If I got up for tahajjud or fajr namaz, Allah Pak, it's your grace. Doesn't Allah Pak like this? See, you are looking for a job. Just imagine you are looking for a job. You couldn't get the job, right? Or you are looking for a business, right? And you got it after some time, and it's working very well for you. Someone helped you out, and you got the job at the right place. Or you got the business at the right place. After you have secured the job, is it the right thing for you to impress upon the boss, see what I'm doing to you? Is that the right thing? He somehow, he managed to give you a job, right? Now, you are being boastful of yourself, and you're showing an attitude. Is that the right thing? Or you say, you know what, where I was, and how the boss has blessed me. Now, the person that blessed you with the job, won't he feel great of you? Won't he feel good about you? The man is appreciative. He recognizes. Or the others, I was not worthy of anything. The man took me by my hand, and see where he placed me now, so I recognize him. So the same law will apply in deen also, that not for a moment, not from our minds, not from the heart, but verbally, not through our behavior, will we attribute anything to ourselves. Tamara kamni. It's Allah that made it happen. Liyabluwani ashkuru am akfur. At the end of the mission, the Nabi saying, Allah, it's your test. To see that am I appreciative or I'm unappreciative. See that the test is about what appreciation you're showing. And what does appreciation mean? To attribute it to the real giver, the one that has bestowed you, then you show the appreciation. Then Allah Pak is the giver. You're showing Allah Pak, it's your work. I'm just the tool that was used to do this, but it's your work. Guftagua o guftagua khuda buad. Agarche garche as hulqum Abdullah buad. His word is the word of Allah Ta'ala. Although his word is the word of Allah Ta'ala, although it's coming from the lips of Abdullah. What? The word is coming from the lips of Abdullah, but whose word it is? It is the word of Allah Ta'ala. So you're recognizing him, you're understanding him, you're seeing him, it's his word. So you can't afford to attribute any achievement to yourself. You can't. And you have to remind yourself, you're living in Kufristan, you need to recognize the fact that Kufristan, they deleted Allah Ta'ala. And they made it even worse now. Sometimes I think to myself that the Kafir was better, the Mushrik was better. He recognized Allah Ta'ala at least. Although the stupidity that he joined partners, but he recognized a being. And here he deleted Allah, there's no God at all. Can you see the wrong that he's done? That means he's broken every vestige of consciousness. There's no God that do what you want. That's what he's saying. Every vestige of consciousness. You know, man has, a human being has a conscious. Now just crash that down. How do you crash it down? There's no God. So then what we are saying, that you've got the license to do as you want. And here we are saying it is Allah who did it. It's His will, it's His grace, it is, I show my heartfelt appreciation. Every second and moment, I show His appreciation. So this person is asking, Nabi Sam, Ayyul Bukai Abdul. Like I say, even this day, we'll ask, which is the best spot? We'll go for a camping, which is the best spot? And the Sahib is asking the same thing. But look at the disparity. Where are we moving and where the Sahib is moving? Can you see that? Can you see that? See the difference? That's why they say if the Sahabi was alive today, they say, Ahanda Gandachi, all bad people here. That's what they will say. And we will see, hey, these are different people. This is not Earth, this means not from the planet Earth, from some other planet. When we see them, they're from another planet. And if they see us, they're all bad people. The way we are carrying on, this is how they will view us. And when we see them, we will view them like as though they are from another planet altogether. So he's asking, Ya Rasulullah, Ayyul Bukai Afdal. Which place, which spot is the best? See a person's speech, his talk, his questioning, etc. is a reflection of his mind. Is a reflection of his thought. What he's asking about, he's thinking about. That's in his mind. Therefore, he's talking about it. So Rabbi Sallallahu says, Lord, I don't know. I will refer to Jibreel al-Islam. That's the avenue you go through that way, right? I will refer to it. I don't know. Now, how beautiful. What I know, I tell you. What I don't know, I don't tell you. Now, does that bring any type of embarrassment to the Zat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? He said, I don't know it. Does it bring any type of disgrace? No, we'll see it in honor of Nabi Sallallahu. He didn't do something, he didn't fake an answer. Whereas, we could have faked an answer, or I put facts together here, there, and then, and bring about an answer. We could have done that. Right? So now, here, namaz is read, so that's a better place. We could have faked an answer. But Nabi Sallallahu said, no, I don't know it. He didn't fake the answer. He said, I don't know it. And he's referring it to Jibreel Islam. Jibreel Islam comes to the scene. Which, Ayyul Bukai Afdal. He also says, I don't know, I give up. So Nabi Sallallahu has given up. Jibreel Islam has given up. For what Nabi Sallallahu has given up, and Jibreel Islam has given up, that we don't find in our honor. To say, I don't know, we don't find that as an honor today. So we find it as an honor to fake up an answer, to make up an answer. But to say the facts as they were, that we don't consider that as an honor. Now we report this as a mark of honor. See the honor, see the respect. I don't know it. MashaAllah. With the passage of time, people begin to respect the person. He doesn't know a thing, he says it, I don't know it. He won't make it up. And if you keep try to faking up, then people will catch up with you. But this person doesn't know things and he's faking answers. He's fabricating things. So the respect that you have, that also will be lost. Jibreel says, no, I refer to Allah Ta'ala. See the sequence. Nabi Sallam, then to Jibreel, and Jibreel to Allah Ta'ala. Then he comes back and he says, Alhamdulillah, with the barakat of the question of Nabi Sallam, today I have the proximity of Allah Ta'ala that I never had before. Between me and Allah Ta'ala, there were only 70,000 veils. I never had this type of proximity. And Allah Pak says that the best spot is the masjid, the house of Allah Ta'ala. On the face of the earth, there isn't a place as great as the house of Allah Ta'ala. So anyway, we're talking about Abdullah bin Salam, radiyallahu anhu. So Abdullah bin Salam, radiyallahu anhu, I say, when a person is very knowledgeable, but he is supported with taqwa and righteousness, then his demeanor is different. His outlook of things are different. His ways, his conduct, his behavior, everything will be different. Because now he's going to be very cautious. Sometimes he'll be over-cautious. And because of his being over-cautious, then his conduct will be different. Now, he thought to himself, well, my previous creed was Judaism. And my present creed is Islam. In my previous creed, the respect to the Sabbath was a requirement, and was an obligation. So, on the Sabbath, you're not supposed to be doing any type of business, right? Any type of material and worldly work, you're not supposed to be doing. So that's the respect that they will show to the Sabbath, right? But Islam doesn't say that Islam doesn't make it an obligation that we must despise the Sabbath. We must run it down. It doesn't make it an obligation. When you come Muslim, you must run down the Sabbath. So when Islam doesn't regard it as an obligation, so to reconcile from my past to the present, what I will do is I will not do anything that is of a worldly nature on a Sabbath. But I will not regard it as an obligation. Like in Judaism, it was regarded as an obligation. You are a Jew, must respect the Sabbath. Don't do anything worldly. Don't do fishing, don't do all these things. Right. So I won't regard this as an obligation, but I won't practice it, though I don't regard it as an obligation. So I will reconcile both. See the caution that he's exercising, number one. And number two, he doesn't want to show any level of disregard. That level of taqwa that he's got, the level of ilm that he's got, he is pushing him on that end. And just then now, the verse of the Quran Sharif have been revealed, Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa, coming to Islam complete, not this half business, a little bit of Judaism, a little bit of Islam. We don't want this business. You come in full. You out full, and you come in full. Islam is not like a cafeteria, where you walk in and you take the things of your choice and leave out things that are not of your choice. It's not like that. You take it full. Leave it full. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. That's not Islam. One of the reasons why I feel today that people are not getting attracted to Islam is they are not seeing the true picture of Islam. Out of the masjid, right, you're also flirting with a girl like an ex-person is flirting. You're on the plane, so you talk to the hostess like how the others are. Oh, it's probably a topi wala, he's got a kurta wala, but he can flirt also. So what's the difference? It's just a costume. Anything more than a costume. Hazraji Rahmatullah, Buzwanadin, unke chote chote chutkale hote hai. Small anecdotes, but they give tons of lessons they give. So, in my presence once, someone brought a rose. Right. So, Hazrat asked, in a very ajeeb, strange way, ye Europe ka rose to nahi hai? This rose, is it a European rose? It took me time to digest what he was talking about. I understood what he was alluding towards. Because the rose that is imported, exported and all that, right? European countries when they exported, it is just for the look, it's not for the fragrance. It's for the looks, not for the fragrance. I'm sure if you go to a florist to buy some roses, I'm sure you won't get that heavy level of fragrance. Yes, the looks will be there. So what Hazrati is telling us, in a very, very, very nice, polite way, by it's important to have a good appearance, but more important is to get the fragrance of Islam in you. You got the appearance of Islam, but do you have the fragrance of Islam in you? When people are going to buy you into you, they're not just buy you for the looks. More than the looks will be the fragrance of Islam. Now, the Europe, what they've done, they've perfected appearance outward. They look like this, presentation like this, talk like this, clothing like this, this type of car, right? So the presentation will be too beautiful. But what is within the person, don't worry about it. It can be rotting, it can be doing every type of filth, alright. See, like a standard in the Western countries is, not a good example, right? But I can't get a better example to impress or to make you understand their mentality, right? If someone forces himself on his wife, then it's called rape, right? What? It's a big, big crime. In the whole Western world, someone forced himself, then it is rape, right? But you can do zina with 50 women, perfect, normal, so long as it's consensual. So long as it's consensual, you can sleep with 50 women, no problem, absolutely no problem, fine. But you see the filth, the dirt, filth. Here you do something halal, or it wasn't with consent, right, but it was absolutely halal. It was wrong of her to refuse, right? Right? It was wrong of her. So that is regarded as the biggest crime. Okay, they can put you into prison, rape. But you are, like the person was drinking water, but that water was a little bit lukewarm, or it's not the best thing to do. Have it cool, nice, right? So that is regarded as the biggest crime. Biggest crime, of course. But a person is eating julap all the time, that is, he's one man. He's eating julap, suraj is eating. All the time he's eating suraj and suraj. So that is the best thing to do. But this, what you're doing, is the worst crime. But you see the mentality. Mentality is absolutely off. And really, we don't take the time to do the comparison. And this comparison in this culture is very, very important. And unless and until you're not going to do the comparison, you're not going to know, you're not going to understand the beauty of Islam. So this verse of the Quran Sharif was revealed on that occasion, Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Coming into Islam, come complete. There's one leg in, one leg out, that business we don't want. You come in and you come in complete. So this complete can have two meanings, right? He's used the word, it's an Arabic grammar term, how, right? So the how is related, what is it related to? Is it related to the entry or is it related to Islam? So there's two explanations. One explanation goes, it's related to Islam. That means when you get into Islam, then the total, complete Islam. If you're doing namaz, then you're doing roza also. You're doing fasting also. You're leaving your ghibat as well. So Islam and complete Islam. Not that you are performing roza, but you're making ghibat also in the process. Or you are leaving out ghibat, but you're eating haram. No, no. Islam and entering Islam complete. With this half our job that we don't want. And the second explanation is that hal is mutalliq to the individual. To the individual. So when it's related to the individual, it's telling the individual, by your entire self, your entire body must be in Islam. It mustn't be that your tongue is in Islam, but your eyes is not in Islam. You're speaking very nicely, like a Muslim, but the eyes is floating everywhere. Or it mustn't be that your eyes are in Islam, but your ears are in the wrong places. So if you're entering into Islam, then complete, absolute, complete. You want the perfect entry into Jannah, don't you? You want a complete entry. With depth, you want straight entry. You don't want any hurdles at that point, right? So Allah is saying, you pay the price, you come into complete, and you get the perfect Jannah. But you came a little bit wrong, messed up, incorrect, inconsistent. So you came with all these limitations and weaknesses. Those weaknesses have to be corrected before entry. Because Jannah is not a place of deficiency. It's not a place of filth. The filth will have to be washed out, and the deficiencies will have to be corrected before entry. A Muslim is guaranteed Jannah, but the deficiencies have to be corrected. So you want a straight, complete, perfect entry, then come with the perfect code of Islam. But you come with a deficient, limited, filthy, dirty, that type of Islam, then you will have to be cleansed before you put in. Heart is dirty, eyes are filthy, ears are going to filth and dirt, right? So all these need to be cleansed. Because the Jannah can't tolerate any type of filth. Any smallest type of filth, a speck of filth, has to be cleansed before your entry. اُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Now, in this entry to Islam, one very important thing is that we come in, and we come in with a cheer. We come in, but we come in with absolute cheer, no reservation, no frowning of faces, no pulling of a face, nothing. Absolute. You're coming in clear, happy, cheerful, you're coming in. Now, to illustrate this point, let me give you an example, right? You got a worker, right? Menial workers, right? You got. And when you're instructing him, he's doing with cheer. Happiness, boss, I'm too happy with you. You know, boss, what you did for me. I couldn't get a job. And I'm so appreciative, I'm so thankful to you. He's showing happiness, he's doing it cheerfully. He may make a mistake here and there, right? But he's doing, whatever he's doing with the cheer. There's no frown on the face, you can see that he's bursting with happiness. So this is one type of a worker, he's executing the duties, he's doing it with a smile, with pleasure, with happiness, right? And the other one that you've got, he's executing the duties, but there's a frown on the face all the time. His face pulled up. I'm telling you something, frowning, pulling up your face, right? Sometimes it happens with the wife. Sometimes it happens with the worker, right? The face pulled up, she doesn't want to do the work. She's doing things, but grudgingly. Ah, all right, you told me now, you're the boss of the house, and I just have to do it, so I'll do it, so what? So the one is they're doing it with the cheer, happiness, what else, man? I will do something else for you. Until you have to say, relax now, man. He's so bubbly, so good for you, until you have to tell him, now, relax, man, you did something right. Then tell the person, now, work with moderation, iqtasid, work with moderation. He's doing it, he's going on overdrive, he loves me so much. So then the boss will have to say, just relax now. Right? And this is the one person, he's working, and he's working grudgingly. His face is frowned, pulled up, right? And you can see sometimes you tell him something and he's mumbling as though he's swearing you. I ask you, will you appreciate that? then how do you want Allah Ta'ala to appreciate you when He's telling you something, now I must get up for namaz again. Yeah, I must do qurbani again. Again, I must do hajj. I can't look at that girl. Islam is nothing for me. I can't even talk. You know, a little bit of playing around. I can't even do these things. I can't even go to a casino. So will Allah Ta'ala appreciate that? Think your relationship with your servant, with your worker, and you don't appreciate that, then will Allah Ta'ala appreciate it? If you can't get there, at least imitate the person. I'm doing it, present. Allah, I'm a stupid person, I'm mad. I'm doing all these haram things here. What are you doing for me? And in comparison to what you're doing for me, and I'm namak haram here. So then Allah will be happy. You acknowledging your weaknesses, and you want to get out of it, but you're not justifying, you're not pulling up your face, you're not showing an attitude, you're not frowning. So when do Allah will be happy? Isn't this a simple lesson? Now this is called Ridha bil Qala. See, you got ikhlas, right? The condition, precondition for acceptance is ikhlas. But ikhlas got levels in. This is the highest level of ikhlas. That you're happy with it. With whatever the decree of Allah Ta'ala, you're happy with it. You don't want to complain, you don't want to grieve. It's not that you won't feel hurt. At some loss, you will feel hurt. Some worldly material gain, you feel happy also. Hey, you had a bumper sale today. Masha'Allah, you sold jackets, eh? 5 million jackets you sold for the day. So you feel excited. So Islam is not stopping you from this. You made a good sale, good bargain, alhamdulillah. And at the time of a tragedy, you feel pain. To express the pain is not a guna. It's not a sin. See, Nabi Sallam, after Hijrat, he has only one son, Ibrahim ibn Maria. So the son of Maria. So he had only one son, Ibrahim bin Muhammad. The mother is of Maria, Qibtiya, radiyallahu anha, right? Now he's just got one son, and you can imagine now how the bishop will be attached to the child. That after he has one child, the child is so promising. And also the bishop also announced, if he lives, he'll become a Nabi. Imagine now his status, his maqam, his position, what it is like. And now when you can see everything promising in the child, then at that age, 18 months, and then he passes away. So can you imagine the grief, the pain that will come? You have no male offsprings, and you got one, right? And then when he's 17, 18 months, he's so promising at that time, and the child just goes, right? So now how is the response of the wisdom? Now he's showing us, right? He's showing us that what is a response of a complete man. He says, إِنَّ الْقَلْبَ لَمَحْزُونٌ. The heart is grieving. So when he's showing this, he's showing a holistic response. A holistic response. My heart is grieved, right? For the loss that I incurred, then my heart is grieved. One is, he's showing, alright, you have the right to grieve. Number two, he's showing you that the child had passed away, then you need to sympathize with him. You can't now just abandon the child. No, he died in a pinch, this must carry on. No. You need to sympathize. That child also has got a right. So he's showing you that child got a right, so you can sympathize for him. The child has got a mother, you sympathize with the mother. The child has got grandparents, so you sympathize with them. So you show your sympathies as well. إِنَّ الْأَيْنَيْنِ لَتَدْمَعَانِ. And the eyes are streaming with tears, right? We are streaming all the bayans. But our eyes streaming? What's supposed to be streaming, not streaming. So he's showing, alright, we need to show sympathy towards the families, the concerned people, etc. So their rights have been fulfilled. So Nabi Sallam's example was perfect, complete, holistic. But then he says, وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يَرْضَى بِهِ رَبُّنَا. Our hearts are happy with the decision of Allah Ta'ala, we are happy. So we'll only say those words that are pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. So now, on the one side, the decision of Allah Ta'ala, there's no qualms and reservation. Can you see that? See balance. Complete, perfection. You see that? That we are happy with the decision of Allah Ta'ala, so we will not complain about this. We are happy. For the decision of Allah Ta'ala, we are happy. Our hearts are happy. The decision of Allah Ta'ala is right, the perfect. But we have to express our human limitation, show sympathy to the people that are in concern. So we show that right towards them as well. We fulfill their right, but we're not oblivious and forget the right of Allah Ta'ala. That we know it happened, the decision of Allah Ta'ala. We're happy with Him. So we'd only say that which is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. But what a perfect way. Can you see that? وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يَرْضَى بِهِ رَبُّنَا. Perfect. Islam has got no extremism. That you're looking one side and all completely just one side and you forgot the other side. Or you're looking at the other side and forgot this way. So you're so grieved, so much grief, and pulled up. Allah Pak, yeah, nobody asked to take away but my child. See, this child was so promising and you just took him away. You know, we've got feelings. So you didn't go to that extreme. And nor did you disregard the loss of the child. So you showed sympathy towards the child and the mother of the child and the family, etc. But you did not say something that is displeasing to Allah Ta'ala. So you pleased with his decree and his decision, but you also are mindful that we are human and we need to sympathize. We need to not to show Allah Ta'ala that we're too brave, you know. Allah Ta'ala, you show me anything and I'll take it. I'm a Tazan, I will take on anything. You're not supposed to be showing that bravery before Allah Ta'ala. Before Allah Ta'ala, inni da'if faqawwini. Don't you say that, inni da'if. I'm weak, so you strengthen me. Inni ghalil fa'izzani. I'm supposed to show the weakness, my inabilities, my limitations. So I'm showing my limitations to Allah Ta'ala when I show these things here, that I'm showing my limitation. Rather than coming up, Allah Ta'ala, you can challenge me, you can try me out, and I will do anything. No, Allah doesn't like this. But you see the completion, perfection. But as I say repeatedly, we read the hadith, we read the Quran Sharif, but do we take out the time to go and understand this, apply this, reflect over these things? Do we take the time? You know, the culture today is like gobble and go. What? Just gobble and just go. But there's no majah in that. I see sometimes, you know, we're at a dawat now, they're eating, but they look at the phone. But it's Allah Ta'ala's ni'mat. Enjoy the thing. Relish, say Alhamdulillah. Say that, say from your heart, Alhamdulillah. You drink water, but Alhamdulillah. No appreciation. You're more concerned, you're absorbing that thing there, than enjoying the gift of Allah Ta'ala. Is that the way that you appreciate? And that same culture that passes on to people. Like talking to your mother, and you're looking at this. So though her existence or her non-existence is the same to you, but now you give her full attention, for everything, put it away, put it on silent, whatever, put it away. I'm giving my mother or my wife my full attention. Won't she appreciate that? But you're not showing appreciation. The food of Allah's gift, you don't show an appreciation. You're supposed to be enjoying it, thinking about it, enjoying it, taking it with relish. That this is the gift of Allah Ta'ala, and I'm enjoying it full. But now you're grumbling that thing, no relish, no enjoyment, no expression of gratitude, no shukr. Is that a human type of behavior? Show me small little things. But these little things, they add up. They show you the real flavor of Islam. They show you the beauty of Islam. Small little things. How you work with people, how you behave with people, in all type of situation. Not that you don't enjoy, you enjoy. Allah will give you a good car, enjoying it. Good home, Alhamdulillah. And look at the people there, in the squatter camps, how they're living, you know. Allah, what palatial home, security, what you've given me. Allah, I'm very, very grateful. What you've given me, you know, so much you've given me. So much you've given me, so much, you know. Like I say, of my friends, you know, I say, tell them, the person beside me that is living there, right? We don't wish for the poverty, right? But if he has lunch, he doesn't know what he's going to have for supper. Or it may be just a standard meal. If it's rice, this rice, or flour, this flour. That's the meal that he's going to have for the next meal, right? But if you go look at your grocery cupboard or your fridge, that's when you have to make istikhara, mashwara, what to have for the next meal. So many varieties. It is just coming out. It's so much there. What are we going to have for lunch now? We have a mashwara, we have a istikhara. What you going to eat? So much you got. And yet we can't make sugar.